and then I also run comedy shows called Slice of Life Comedy, where I do shows in non-COVID times at Pulp and Orange Peel, and in COVID times at Rabbit Rabbit. But I've taken a hiatus since my kidney issue, and I'm hopefully getting back to it next month.
Yeah.
And as far as Asheville at Them, I am a volunteer there. I've been one since 2010, maybe the end of 2009, 2010, right when they got started. And then, and I've been doing a show pretty much ever since then. And, I used to be very involved with the station, just doing a lot of volunteer stuff, sorry. And then when I got sick, I just kind of put that on pause and just did my radio show, kind of from there. And that's it. That's all I'm doing right now.
Yeah. And are you from the Asheville area?
I moved here from the Gulf Coast in New Orleans.
Yeah. Is that your hometown? Were you born and raised in New Orleans?
No, I was actually born in Georgia, and then I moved to Mobile, which is on the Gulf Coast, and then I moved to New Orleans, and then I moved to Asheville. But I moved to Asheville in the late 90s, so like 97 is when I moved here. So I've been here a very long time.
Yeah. What drew you to Asheville?
My parents actually used to vacation here, and they like in the area, and off of the, they used to do like horseback riding trips on the Appalachian Trail, and they decided this is where they wanted to retire, and so they retired here, like back, you know, in the 90s, and so I just kind of followed them there, basically. When I was ready to kind of get out of New Orleans for a little while, I didn't think I would stay here, but I really loved Asheville so much that I've been here ever since.
And so, when did you first realize that you were sick, and what were you diagnosed with?
Well, it was kind of progression of things. It started really as, first of all, I'm a type 1 diabetic, and I have been since I was a teenager. When I had my daughter, I started having complications when I was pregnant, and I was 6 months pregnant with my daughter, and then I had to have her because I had a condition they found out. It was called moya, which is you don't have to know what that is, but it was just like a vascular brain condition that was causing me to have strokes and seizures. So I had to have my daughter when I was 6 months pregnant, and she was a pound and a half. And then I had to go get surgery in California for that condition. And it was the dyes from that surgery that damaged my kidneys. And then that damage just became more serious, kind of as the years progressed. And so then around 2014-15, I was diagnosed with end-stage renal failure, which means your kidneys totally don't work. And so I had to go on dialysis to stay alive.
Yeah. And let's see. So, how urgent was it that you got the transplant? Like, did your doctors give you a frame of time that you needed to get a new liver by? Or was it's not liver, right? Kidney. New kidney by?
No, actually, because of dialysis, you know, I could have potentially stayed on it the rest of my life. I mean, literally, I would have stayed on it the rest of my life. But you know, I don't know how long of a life that would have been. But I was on it for 5 years, you know, and then a friend of mine I knew since middle school contacted me and asked me if, just said she wanted to give me her kidney and her extra kidney, and so she did, and so I was very thankful that I was able to get that surgery done this past November.
Yeah, and so this was a friend from middle school you had?
Yes, we went to a like a smaller school together. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't talked to her in over 30 years, and, yeah, she just contacted me. She had heard about, me needing a kidney. She was a universal donor. She wanted to do it. And, so at first I was like, oh no, it's okay. And I was trying other people, but then I started getting sicker. I was having a lot of problems with the dialysis. It was causing me other health issues. And I really realized, I was like, if I don't get a kidney soon, I'm not going to be healthy enough to get a kidney. So she came along at the right time, and I was able to get it.
Yeah. Sorry. Have you, you know, remained close to her since then?
Yes. She's, you know, I just consider her a sister from now on. And so we talk every few days. I need to give her, we go back and we text and chat, but you know, we try to stay in touch with each other regularly.
Wow, that's amazing. So you were in line for an organ transplant for 5 years, right?
Yes, I was, they have lists for getting a deceased person's organs, you know, and I got called many times to see, you know, if I would be a match, but nothing really had ever happened with that. So, you know, I was on the list at Emory in Georgia and at Wake Forest in Winston-Salem.
Yeah. And how did you cope with the anxiety and the frustration of all that waiting?
Sometimes not great. Sometimes, you know, I really kind of boiled my life down to the things I loved doing, which was radio DJing, talk radio, and my comedy shows. And so those were the only events I would do. And then I was really lucky that I have a partner that is very supportive and who is a retired retired medic.
Yeah.
He served 8 years in the Air Force as a medic, so he was really good at helping take care of me. And he's also an Asheville famous DJ, so he does radio too.
Oh, awesome! And so your radio and your comedy, your passions, did that all start after you had all these health issues?
No, actually, they all started when I was getting a divorce. I've always loved radio and been involved with it here and there, in some form. Sorry, my throat is scratchy. It's like just drinking something. Not the COVID. I always loved radio. I always loved comedy. And it wasn't so much, I had already started both prior to getting sick, but it was important for me. It was really important for me to keep up and keep going with doing the things I loved and not just, like, giving in to, like, okay, now my life is over. Now I can't do anything, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, I really wanted to, like, just keep going through what I was going through and get to the other side.
Did you ever have moments where you felt too overwhelmed and like you just wanted to give up all your radio programming and your comedy programming?
Well, I mean, it wasn't specifically radio or comedy I wanted to give up. It was just in general, just giving up, you know, it was just moments where, it just felt like, you know, it would just be like some days were really hard and it would just be like, I would rather, you know, I'd have issues with pain and stuff and it'd be like, I would rather just be out of pain, you know, I just want to be out of pain.
Yeah.
And certainly with, you know, the thing I did with the radio and comedy shows though was, I found people in my life, in both radio and in comedy, where if I couldn't show up one day, they could go on without me.
Yeah.
And I did that a lot. So with Slumber Party, when I first started Slumber Party, you know, for a long time I was doing it by myself. And then when I got, when I found out I first was getting sick, I brought on my friend Jake to do it with me, and then when I went into the hospital for an extended time, he brought on Allie to do it with him, and then when I came back, we kept both Jake and Allie, and the three of us have been doing it ever since,
yeah,
for like 6 years now, and so there have been many times over the years where I haven't been able to do Slumber Party, but they've gone ahead and done it, and it's so great. And then the same with the comedy. There were times when I would just have, you know, I would have other comedians help me run my shows, and then again, my partner would sometimes help as well, just going and kind of representing me. As a producing partner.
Yeah. So, when you had the transplant itself, how did that go? Was it complicated in any way because of COVID?
Yes. It was really scary. First of all, it got delayed several months because we were originally supposed to do it back in March. And then they all got canceled, of course, because, you know, last year when it all came out. And then in November, when it was a go, we found out, okay, we can actually have the surgery. I just kept waiting for them to be like, no, we can't have the surgery. But it was also scary. It was scary to, like, go into a hospital setting during COVID.
Yeah.
But because of people who have transplants, you're on this medication that you have to take called, you know, immune suppressant medication. And basically, you know, you have to take it to keep the organ from being rejected by your body. So you basically have to, like, tamper down your own immune system with this other medication. So it makes you very susceptible to even the common cold could kill you because your body can't fight it off. So something like COVID, it's really scary.
Yeah.
And so that's something I'm dealing with now. But being in the hospital, the transplant wing is very, very careful. And you know they have all these patients they have to be really careful with. So it was actually, you know, once I got there, I felt very safe.
Yeah. So are you still on immunosuppressants?
Yes, I will be for the rest of my life, but I won't be on as many. By the time I hit 6 months, which I'm at 3 months right now, but by the time I hit 6 months, I'll be off a lot of them. I started off with, like, taking 40 pills a day, and now I'm down to, like, 20 pills a day. And, you know, and then I'll still have for the rest of my life, like, a handful of pills I take a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot. So how are you feeling right now with everything? Do you feel optimistic? Do you feel disheartened, like, in general?
I'm really optimistic. You know, I feel... I feel, you know, sad for the United States right now and everything that it's going through. But as far as myself, you know, it's really kind of cool because I would be in quarantine right now anyway during this time after a transplant surgery because of the high infection risk. And so it's kind of like the whole world is in quarantine with me. And so in that way, you know, I feel less lonely about it. I don't have the feel of missing out, you know, the fear of missing out of stuff because nothing else is going on out there, you know?
Yeah.
And, number one, number two, you know, we move Slumber Party, you know, I'm pre-recording it now at the Biz Buzz station, which we're always, you know, Biz Radio and Matt, my partner, has always been a big supporter of Asheville FM as well. And, but so it's nice, we record it from our home radio studio, and it's nice to be able to, you know, keep doing what I love, but in a safe environment. You know, and I'm positive because I just really believe, you know, it's gonna get better, and I think that it will never be the same, but it'll get better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And then I just had one follow-up question about that time during quarantine where between March and November when you were waiting, even though you had someone who was willing to donate. During that time, what did your relationship with Marie look like? Had you already grown closer before this time, or was that, like, a time when you guys really bonded?
It was actually difficult because during that specific time, I really hardcore was like, this is never gonna happen. Yeah, I really gave up on the fact that I was going to get a kidney. because I was just like, with COVID, I don't see it happening. They shut it down. And Marie, the whole time, was like my cheerleader. Of like, she would contact me, she would call me, she would text me. She would be like, okay, here's where we're at, we're going to do it, we're going to, like, she was just always so positive. And it was really great just having her in my life for that, and in that part where I really was, there were times during that period where I was just like, okay, like, you know, this is not good, but yeah.
Yeah. And what compelled her to decide to offer one of her organs to someone who is nearly a stranger? Did she ever talk about that with you?
She did. You know, I think it was a few things, but I think that the short of it is another friend we had was in a car wreck. For another girl we went to school with, she was in a car wreck, and it was her name was Melanie, and her and Marie were good friends, and she was in a car wreck, and it left her with damaged kidneys, having to be on dialysis, and Marie, you know, came to this point where she was like, I want to give her my kidney. She kept thinking about it, but she never did anything about it. And then our friend died. And it left her with this feeling, I think, that she should have done something so that when she found out that I needed a kidney, she was very much motivated to follow through with it. It was just like a personal journey for her. It was really beautiful, really beautiful. It really made me, you know, in a time where things were really rough, like just the kindness, the fact that someone would do that for anyone, you know, is just amazing to me. It really is. It blows me away.
Yeah, absolutely. And is she back on the Gulf Coast, Marie?
Yes. Okay. Yes. She lives there, and that's why, you know, we did the surgery at Emory in Atlanta, and so both of us could meet there. You know, it's like the middle place to meet, and but yeah, yep, she's back on the Gulf Coast and back doing her life. She, you know, is in the military part time, and she has a construction business with her husband, and
wow, that's amazing.